Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. Today, our Bible teacher, Stephen Davey, has a message for you entitled The Day of Atonement. Looking at that ancient celebration will encourage you in your walk today.
We have arrived at this amazing chapter in the book of Leviticus where we're going to watch just one day in the life of Israel unfold. And what a day this is. This is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when God granted cleansing and forgiveness for the sins of the nation. You might say that for one day, God's people enjoyed a clean slate, not by any effort of their own, but through atonement and the grace of God. The high priest here will represent a sinful nation before a holy yet forgiving God. Now, you might remember that inside the tabernacle, they're inside the inner room called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. God's presence was manifested by a cloud hovering just over the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat is that lid on the golden box known as the Ark of the Covenant. Now, according to God's plan, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest made sacrifices for the entire nation. We're told here that he's going to take a bath. He's then going to put on these special garments of a high priest. Here in chapter 16 and verses 3 through 5, he's told to bring a bull and a ram, first for his own sin, and two goats and a ram for the sins of the whole nation. In fact, we're told here in verse 8 that Aaron is to cast lots to designate one of the two goats. One of them will be for the Lord. That is, it's going to be presented to the Lord as a sacrifice. And the other goat is called here Azazel or Azazel, which means the goat that goes away. This is the scapegoat, and I'm going to refer to him in a moment. Now, here in verse 11, Aaron is instructed to sacrifice the bull for his own sins and the sins of all the priests, in fact. He's to take some of the blood of this bull along with some hot coals from the altar and two handfuls of incense, and he's going to take it into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. The smoke from the incense will fill the space. It's going to prevent Aaron from seeing the full glory of the Lord that's hovering in that pillar of cloud just above the mercy seat. You see, the Day of Atonement is a day of incredible gravity. Aaron isn't going in there, you know, whistling his favorite tune. He isn't casually approaching a holy God. In fact, we know from Scripture he had little bells sewn into the bottom fringe of his robe, and it tinkled away as he moved around. According to one tradition, a rope was even tied around one of his ankles. As long as the people heard the tinkling of those little bells, they would know that Aaron is still moving. He's still alive. And the rope would allow other priests to pull him out of there if it got quiet, if God perhaps refused the sacrifice and struck him dead. Now, we read here in verse 14, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat seven times. Now, putting the blood on the lid of the ark symbolized the substitutionary death of that animal for sin. You see, inside that box, that ark, were the tablets of stone engraved with the commandments of God. God was essentially going to view the Israelites breaking the law, represented by those tablets. He's going to view their sin through the blood of that atoning sacrifice. I imagine as Aaron backed out of the most holy place, his heart would be pounding. But he's been obedient and forgiven. He's still alive to proceed with this special ritual. We're told here in verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat, Now here in verse 18, then he shall go out to the altar that's before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns, the corners of that altar all around. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the people of Israel. Now the next step is crucial because it's going to symbolize the forgiveness of God. See, after cleansing the tabernacle and its furnishings, Aaron brings forward now this living goat, the scapegoat. And the Lord says here in verse 21, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the wilderness. So the sins of the nation are symbolically transferred to the scapegoat, which is then sent away into the wilderness. Now picture this. Some 2 million people will be surrounding the tabernacle on Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, as Aaron sends that goat away bearing their sins out of the tabernacle court and then out far out into the wilderness. And you can imagine the relief and what joy that's going to follow this special occasion. Now, by the way, these two goats, the one dying as a sin offering and the one that's the scapegoat, they both picture the future atonement of Jesus Christ, who did both. He died to pay for all our sin, and he also carried our sin away. Now, keep in mind that immediately the sins of the people of Israel here are going to start collecting all over again. Aaron's going to have to be up at sunrise the very next day. The altar will be prepared. The knives are going to be sharpened. People are going to line up, you know, to bring their offerings and sacrifices to the tabernacle all over again. Everybody who stood in that line year after year, century after century, must have longed for this final day, this permanent, perfect, completed final sacrifice, which would be offered. And the holiness and justice of God would be forever satisfied. You see, this all pointed to Jesus Christ. He's not only our great high priest, but he is also the sacrifice. He, as our substitute, fully paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. He purchased our forgiveness forever. Now, have you ever thought about the fact that there's one piece of furniture missing from the tabernacle as we've gone through over these last sessions? There's one piece of furniture that's not anywhere in sight, and that's a chair. You know why? The priests never sat down. And that's because their work was never finished. But listen to the writer of Hebrews, who speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins or on our behalf. He writes in Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 12, "We have been sanctified, cleansed, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at this service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." The final day of atonement took place at the cross of Christ, where Jesus paid in full the penalty for all our sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 indicates that he later ascended back to heaven because he did what? He went up there and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Now, the right hand doesn't mean he sat down on the right hand of his Father. It pictures the place of divine authority. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the crucified, risen, ascended Savior, now sits at the place of divine authority, the right hand of God the Father. The work is finished. You simply have to believe. And if his word says that all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved, well, you have his word on the matter. And when you trust in him, you are forgiven forever. And that promise comes directly from the throne of God. Well, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Stephen Davey is taking us through the entire Bible in 3 years. Today we were in the book of Leviticus, and the lesson was entitled, The Day of Atonement. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or any of the podcast platforms, please take a minute to like and subscribe to The Wisdom Journey. Not only will that help you never miss a lesson, but it also helps others find this podcast. Join us again next time.